Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Ali Alamed, who's the founder and director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs and a scholar and expert on Saudi political affairs, including terrorism, Islamic movements, Wahhabi Islam, Saudi political history, and Saudi-American relations, and the Al Saud family history. He is the author of a new report, From American College Campuses to ISIS Camps, How Hundreds of Saudis Joined ISIS in the U.S. Welcome to Background Briefing, Ali Alamed.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this report that you've authored from the Institute for Gulf Affairs, From American College Campuses to ISIS Camps, How Hundreds of Saudis Joined ISIS in the United States, is absolutely amazing. And when you contrast the recent coverage of Donald Trump in Saudi Arabia doing the sword dance and making the arms deal, and the way that the White House has spun this whole trip as being a massive success, and all the reports that came out of that summit of the 40 leaders of Muslim countries was that Iran is the capital of terrorism and we've got to stop the Iranian terrorists, and that's the focus, and no mention of Saudi's involvement in terrorism. And here now you've got a report that hundreds of Saudi students here in the United States are literally joining ISIS, many on their vacations. So give us the basic statistics here to begin with, because it's a shocking report.
Well, since September 11, 2001, where 19 Saudi nationals or 15 Saudi nationals took part in the attacks on New York and Washington. Since then, maybe 15,000 Saudis, maybe more, have joined terrorist organizations, including Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And hundreds of them did it while working, living, or studying in Western countries, including the United States, where our investigation indicated that a few hundreds, maybe 400 students joined. And there are others out of the United Kingdom and Australia and New Zealand, in addition to the thousands that came from Saudi Arabia. And in many cases, the Saudi government assisted them to go. Within the United States, these hundreds of students who were on Saudi scholarship, most of them on Saudi government scholarship, they joined ISIS. The Saudi government knew about them joining ISIS and Al-Qaeda and did not tell the American government. We told the American government. But the American government kept that information from the rest, from other departments. The FBI knew. The White House knew this is the people we gave the information to. They did not tell the State Department, for example, about this issue, leading to continuation of these people to do that. The activity did not stop, and basically posing a threat to the United States security. You have thousands. You have maybe 50 plus thousand Saudi students here. Most of them are you know, students. Have no problem. But from that, 50,000 plus students, hundreds of them joined ISIS, and the Saudi government, the Saudi foreign minister, and possibly the FBI director, the Mr. Comey, played a role in the cover-up and blocking that information from undermining Saudi-U.S. relationship and not telling the State Department about it. It's a very, very big problem, because this is the department that issues visa and in charge of vetting people before they come to the United States. And in many cases, we see in our reports, we show that some of these students had the government, the Saudi government and the Kuwaiti government, knew of their extremist tendency and did not declare that to the American government, because many people are, for a tweet, they are barred from entering the United States, while you have people who are active in recruitment and propagation and they of ISIS and other terrorist groups, and they were issued visas and they lived in the United States for a long time.
And this approximately 400 Saudi and Kuwaiti nationals living in the United States who joined ISIS, what's the overall number of Saudis visiting in the United States?
Right now, there is between 50 to 60,000 who are settled here for education. There are probably 200,000 Saudis and Kuwaitis who come to the United States, especially during these summer months for vacation. This creates a huge problem and challenge for the United States because, you know, the September 11 attacks were carried out by Saudi nationals, and the leading nationality that has joined ISIS in the United States and in the Middle East is Saudi national. Yet there hasn't been any measures taken by the United States government to stop this, to scrutinize. You have just past December, a Saudi who is a recruiter for ISIS publicly and has called ISIS to kill Iraqi children and women publicly, and he was allowed entry in the United States, and the U.S. government did not know. This is nothing, you know, like a back channel cyber secret. This is a public information. Yet he was given a visa and he came to the United States and he was proud of it. So this tells you this system is breaking because there is a cover up. There is, of course, incompetency, but there is definitely a cover up in this. And this has happened before where American officials covered up with the Saudi government for their shortcomings, for even their negligence. And this is the dangerous part. So we're hoping to bring this up to the Senate so they can actually investigate it, because this is, there might be, I'm not saying that that's the case, but history tells us that among these students that have that are here, maybe some of them have already left, joined ISIS and came back and are waiting to do something. And unfortunately, we don't want to take risks. So that's why we need to have an investigation about this. And I hope the Senate is hearing this so they can take actual steps and highlight this issue. We'll see.
And again, I'm speaking with Ali Alamed, who's the founder and director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs and a scholar and expert on Saudi political affairs, including terrorism, Islamic movements, Wahhabi Islam, Saudi political history, Saudi-American relations, and the Al-Saud family history. He's the co-author of a new report from the Institute for Gulf Affairs, From American College Campuses to ISIS Camps, How Hundreds of Saudis Joined ISIS in the U.S. And I think the problem you have getting officials in Washington, D.C. aware of what this extraordinary report that you've, and it's very, very thoroughly documented, that you've just issued, Ali Alamed, is that the Saudis, of course, are very good at spreading money around in Washington. John Brennan, the former head of the CIA, was very close to a number of top Saudi officials. And now the Trump administration, of course, the Saudis have just hired a obscure group called Sonoran Policy Group of Arizona, and they hired them the day after Donald Trump announced that he would visit Saudi Arabia. These are a group of people that worked in the Trump campaign, and they got a $5.4 million contract to help Saudi lobby for Saudi interests in Washington, D.C. And, of course, Saudis are famous for hiring former intelligence people, former Pentagon people, and former State Department people. So therein is the problem, isn't it, that they've essentially bought the silence of top officials in Washington.
That's true. You know, the American politics is working on money. Look at John McCain, for example. You know, respected senator in the United States, but he has been compromised by Saudi gifts, $1 million to his McCain Institute. And that's the one, that's stuff what we know about, because the Saudis and the Gulf monarchies have developed really a very smart and sophisticated channels to fund American politicians. And that includes all past presidents. We haven't seen one yet about Mr. Obama, but I'm sure it will emerge in the next few months or so. But basically, I haven't seen anything on George Bush, the last Bush, but the other one did, Carter, Clinton, definitely. So unfortunately, and we're going to see it with Trump. So unfortunately, that the United States, as a republic that was built on the ruins of a monarchy, is now subject to the influence of an absolute monarchy that does not allow women basic human rights, and that is very xenophobic, anti-Jewish, anti-Christian, and does not allow American citizens the right, Christians and Jews, the right to practice their faith. The only country in the world that does that, by the way. So even North Korea does not bar you from your religious freedom if you are an American Christian visiting or living in that country. But the Saudi government does.
So the number of people that you profiled in your new report from the Institute for Gulf Affairs, Ali Alamed, from American college campuses to ISIS camps, how hundreds of Saudis joined ISIS in the U.S. You've got lots of documentation and pictures of these people, most of whom died fighting in Syria and Iraq. Here's one example. The nephew of the Saudi Grand Mufti, the highest official in Wahhabi religious authority in the kingdom. He was a student in Australia, left to join ISIS, was killed fighting Syrian forces. And there's a picture here of the deputy crown prince, the son of King Salman. And this is Mohammed bin Salman, who's apparently the most powerful guy in the kingdom. He's only about 30 years old. There's a picture of him meeting with the Al-Qaeda promoter, Mohammed al-Refi. Now, is that the same guy that you were just talking about that was allowed into the United States?
No, this guy is a different guy. But al-Refi, again, is known long time, promoter of what's so-called jihad. And he spoke about the Khilafah, that's the ISIS Khilafah. And he promoted it, and he promoted the sending of thousands of Saudis and other Arabs and Muslim young children to Syria. This guy is enjoying the high life. He's on many TV stations owned by the monarchy. He travels funded by them. He, as you can see, he's meeting the highest. This is not the first time, and not the last time he's meeting these people. And he's enjoying the lifetime where activists, just like today, human rights activists are being bombed by Saudi forces in the east, in Awamiya, where they are destroying a complete city because of protests, peaceful protests, and also bombing cars using drones and other explosives to kill protest leaders. This is how the Saudi government is dealing with it. Protest leaders, you kill them. ISIS and violent and terrorist groups, promoters and recruiters are awarded millions of dollars and meetings with the highest officials. And that is the problem in the United States, that they are not dealing with this as facts. And that's why we are coming up with a series of reports detailing more information, because we want this to be ongoing for the rest of the year, where we will issue a report after report reinforcing this is that the issue of terrorism that is threatening the United States is coming out of Saudi Arabia. The Saudi monarchy is developing this.
And of course, there's a picture on the featured in your report of Fahad Mahmas al-Duwafin, who lived in Texas in 2011 and traveled to Florida and left for Syria via Turkey in 2013 to join the al-Nusra Front. He was killed in March 14th of 2014 in an attack by Syrian government forces in Homs. The picture of him, of course, is contrasted with the picture of him looking very American with his sunglasses and a kind of...
Rahat, yeah.
Yeah, and then next to him is a picture of him as a ISIS fighter. And then, of course, another one, Saad al-Durrihim, with his son Yasser. And he, of course, again went off to fight. And he was at Shawnee State University. So all across the United States, as we speak now, there are hundreds of Saudis studying in the United States. And what percentage of them have you documented so far that have left to join ISIS or al-Nusra or al-Qaeda?
We do have more names, but you know, in order to maintain credibility, we must be able to prove it 100%. So we chose to publish 19 names and change, you know, here and there, because you know the issue here is not how many names you have. 19 hijackers created the largest terrorist attack in U.S. history, maybe human history, and this issue must be addressed. From our report, because we are a small organization, we barely have any funding, we cannot extend more money and resources to this in terms of funding. I'm sure if we had larger amount of resources, we'll be able to get more names and confirm it. But we chose to stay within the 19 to send a message that this brings back the memory and should be at, to bring back the memory of 19 hijackers who destroyed the World Trade Center and the Pentagon.
But still, it has to be a substantial percentage. If you got something like 60,000 all total, it doesn't take very many to cause trouble. And what you said earlier, and I mean, most of the people you've documented studied here in the United States and joined ISIS or al-Nusra in their vacations going back to Saudi Arabia, and many of them, if not all of them, were killed. But the scary part is the ones that come back to the United States to finish their studies. And is there any real documentation? Who's watching this? If there's an official silence at the top, where the President of the United States is basically buying in to the Saudi line that the Saudis aren't responsible for terrorism, only the Iranians are. Meanwhile, as you pointed out, the Saudis are conducting low-grade warfare against their own citizens in the Gulf area where the Shia live. So it's the most secretive, the most repressive country on the planet. It was extraordinary to watch Trump lavish praise on the Saudis at the very moment that the Iranians actually had an election where they re-elected their moderate leader. And of course, there were no elections, are simply not even on the cards. There's no way in the world the Saudis would ever have an election. So here we are, the great democracy kowtowing to a medieval kingdom. The whole thing was quite obscene, I thought.
Yes, absolutely. And I think if you see this video of a State Department a senior official trying to answer the reporter of the French news agency about, saying that, in fact, Condoleezza Rice did the same thing in 2005, and she praised the Saudi partial elections for powerless council where women were not allowed. It's an apartheid election, but it has no value anyways because it's fake elections. And she praised these elections after condemning Iranian presidential election. This really goes to the two things, either the lack of credibility or the lack of competence. Who is stupid enough to stand in Riyadh and say this? This is really either stupid or completely criminal, because it doesn't, if you want to maintain credibility, you cannot do this. You can't stand in Riyadh and condemn Iranian elections. It's not a good situation for you. But if you're doing it because you don't care, because the media maybe will not pick it up, or because you do not really, this is one thing that I've been talking about for a while now. Sometimes it's bigotry that leads some American officials to basically ignore the conditions of the people in Saudi Arabia, because they, in the heart, in the back of their mind, they think these people don't deserve this. Why should we even waste a minute to talk about, apartheid, gender apartheid in Saudi Arabia? The United States, plus the Europeans, by the way, I've been working on this for 17, 18 years, spent $0. They did not spend a $0 trying to improve the conditions of Saudi women. I'm not sure what happened during the apartheid regime, but this is not much different than the Western government's position vis-a-vis the racial apartheid in South Africa. Unfortunately, and that tells you that there is something that needs to be addressed within these systems. It's not the issue here is not the problem with Saudi Arabia alone, but the issue is with how an American elected administration, or a British or a French elected administration, would basically either support this gender apartheid or stay neutral to it. It's extremely disturbing to see this. It's really disturbing because it goes against everything that this country was founded upon. A country by the people, for the people, about equality and the rights of every person. All these statements we hear from American politicians, if they are not matched by actions, they don't represent the foundation of this country.
And of course, one of the more obscene moments during Trump's recent visit to Saudi Arabia was the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, making the comment praising the Saudis because they don't have any protests.
I think the level of ignorance and bigotry rolled into one person.
So we will go to the
commerce and we will give him an education. I'm planning to visit and try to get a meeting with him or his assistant regarding this issue to show him the protest.
Just in closing, Ali Alamed, let our audience know how they can get hold of this incredibly important report, from American college campuses to ISIS camps, how hundreds of Saudis joined ISIS in the U.S. How do they get hold of this report?
You can see this amazing report on our website, gulfinstitute.org, and contributions are welcome, so we can do this more of these reports as soon as we have the resources.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Ali Alamed.
Thank you so much.
And again, I've been speaking with Ali Alamed, who's the founder and director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs and a scholar and expert on Saudi political affairs, including terrorism, Islamic movements, Wahhabi Islam, Saudi political history, Saudi-American relations, and the Al Saud family history. He's the co-author of the new report from the Institute for Gulf Affairs, From American College Campuses to ISIS Camps, How Hundreds of Saudis Joined ISIS in the U.S. We're going to take a brief station break and back looking into the impact that Trump's immigration policies are having on migrant workers and their families.